Good timing. We've got Secretary of the State Stephanie Thomas back in studio with us. Just a couple days left of early voting before the general election on Tuesday. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. I should have come in costume.
No. No, you look just like the Secretary of the State, the way that I remember her looking. You look almost identical to her, actually.
I'm doing a great job.
Yeah, no, you're crushing your costume this year. I mean, really, you almost fooled me. I thought the real Stephanie Thomas was here. I'm very glad to have you here because we have some certainly local election stories I want to talk about. But more generally, we're down to what, 3 days left of early voting?
3 more days, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. today, Saturday and Sunday. So get out there and vote.
Yeah. Do you ever get any sense of how early voting is going? Do you ever get any kind of, I don't want to say early numbers, but early inquiries about whether or not it's effective or not?
You know, it's hard to tell. This is only the second year, but it's the first municipal election, which typically has low turnout. Mm. So far, we've had 134,000 people vote early, but we have nothing to compare it to, so I don't know if that's good or bad. But comparatively, during the presidential election, the total number was 742,000 people voted early.
I do wonder, though, and obviously the presidential election, even gubernatorial, you do tend to have more of a turnout. But I do wonder also, like, I know for myself, I was so excited to just try early voting. Yeah. So I did it last year. I didn't do it this year. I mean, I'm just going to go on general election day. But for me, it was a little bit of excitement and I just wanted to see what the comparison was. I don't know if that accounts for the huge drop or if it really is just it's the presidential versus municipal. I don't know.
I mean, I think it runs the gamut. Like last year, I wanted to early vote because I was busy, but there was always a line. So I ended up going on election day. This year, I'm I don't know what's going to happen next week. Obviously, I'm on call during elections.
You're kidding.
So I'm going to early vote today, actually.
Oh, okay.
So
nice.
For me, this is the point of early voting. Like, it's one other opportunity. I want to make sure that anyone who's eligible to vote has an opportunity to vote in a way that works for their schedule.
So. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And when you do early voting, just to remind folks, it's usually one place in your town or city. I mean, on average, it's
correct.
You're not getting the 16 schools that are all closed down or the multiple locations.
Yeah, one location is required in every single town.
Okay.
And then a few towns have two locations this year.
And obviously, we always reiterate this website because it's important that you know your location, you know what's on the ballot, all of that. Myvote.ct.gov.
You got it.
It's
memorized.
My brain.
I love it.
I think the first time I had you on my show a few years back, I misspoke that website and I will never forget. It was like, well, actually, it is. I think it was the CT part I forgot.
Yes.
So it's like, actually, in the nicest way possible.
Actually, Melissa.
MyVote.CT.gov. It is burned in my brain forever. That and I feel like CTVisit.com because between you and Anthony, you guys just talk about those websites all the time. So I want to talk about a couple of, it felt like, really big, especially in Fairfield County, voting-esque stories that have come up. First was Trumbull. Trumbull had a mistype. A pretty very different number than what it was supposed to be. There's a ballot question in Trumbull, for those of you listening, not knowing what I'm talking about. There's a ballot question. They are trying to get approval for a senior community center with a price tag of about $27 million. The initial absentee ballot, I believe, said $2,700 or something to that
effect.
Yeah,
like the decimal was in the wrong place or
way
the comma,
too far off.
Something.
Correct.
That's correct.
Yeah. But my understanding was there were some 400 absentee ballots that had already been filled out. What happened with that situation?
So as I understand it, they ended up reissuing those absentee ballots.
Okay.
We have a law in Connecticut where the last absentee ballot received is the one that is counted because there are things that happen like just ordinarily, like someone has an absentee ballot and they spill coffee on it, or someone has an absentee ballot but they find out they can vote in person, so they can claw that back on election day and go vote in person. So the registrars handled it in a very timely, I'm sorry, the town clerk, in a very timely manner. What happened in our office, though, a lot of people think we approve ballots, because we often get calls like, why is this font so small, or how come it's on two sides instead of one side? But we don't have that authority. No, it happens at the town level.
At the municipal. I don't know if I knew that.
Most people don't. Most people think we have a lot more authority than we do. I'd be happy to take it on. In fact, we have put in a bill. Secretary Merrill had put in a bill so that we would have that authority. You may recall last year there was a big news story about incorrect translation.
Yes.
On a ballot. So same type of thing.
Interesting. Like, but that comes down to the town or city level.
Correct.
That is not in your office.
Correct.
So but help me to understand. So in let's say in this Trumbull situation. So the 400 people that had already filled out their ballots, and we find out, actually, wait, there was a misprint. We got to send you a new one. What does the record keeping look like with that? Is how do they know that you've now submitted a new one? Like, do they already have it in their system that, hey, you know, this person, you know, Betty already voted. We already have your absentee ballot. But, you know, that you have to go in and say, well, I want to do this instead. Like, what does that look like, I guess, to make sure that there's not extra votes, obviously?
Yeah, and I won't say I'm an expert in what they did in Trumbull, but all of this is recorded in the central voter registration system. So not only is everything tracked, like, we had an application, we received it back, we sent out a ballot, we got a ballot back, and then they can easily mark the ones that received the incorrect ballot based on the date that they issued it. They also can tell, like, hey, this person decided to go early vote instead. So all of this is tracked on the back end and tied out at the end of the day.
Is that also a municipality's decision when to count votes? I would think
that is state law.
Okay, so
no votes in Connecticut can be counted until Election Day.
Okay, because that was going to be my other question, where I would think there'd be a lot of complication if you start taking in the absentee ballots, but now you've got to negate it and do it again. Okay, so you're not even allowed to count those votes until
Election Day. Exactly. And there's actually in statute absentee ballots, I believe the earliest is 10 a.m. because you can claw back up until 10 a.m. your absentee ballot.
Okay. Got it. We've got Secretary of the State here, Stephanie Thomas, talking everything voting in Connecticut. The other story I wanted to get your take on, Secretary of the State, was in Bridgeport. Again, these are accusations right now. Nothing has been proven, but time is of the essence. We've got the general election next week. A Bridgeport City Councilman has been accused of impersonating a HUD employee, collecting absentees. Again, all accusations at this point. But there are people who feel like they might have been duped, or that their absentee ballot might have landed in the wrong hands. What would be your recommendation?
Yeah, I'll give the same advice I gave in 23 and 24. If anyone felt coerced to give their absentee ballot to someone, what I have said is, don't put yourself in a uncomfortable or dangerous situation. If you are able to vote on Election Day, that means you don't need to file an absentee ballot. So Connecticut state law allows you to go to your town clerk and say, negate that vote, I'm going to vote in person. And so that way you don't have to confront anyone or do anything differently, and you can still have your voice heard at the polls. Obviously, if you see something, say something. We've been running public education campaigns for the last month in Bridgeport, trying to educate people that it is illegal in the state of Connecticut to give your ballot to just anyone. It doesn't matter if you voted the way you wanted to vote. It has to be a certain immediate family member or a person in your household, or someone like a police officer or the registrar of voters. Please know your rights. Go to our website, myvote.ct.gov. We have videos in English and Spanish about the entire process and exactly how it has to happen. And if you see something that is improper or you're not sure, you can call the State Elections Enforcement Commission hotline, 1-866-733-2463, or email elections@ct.gov.
All right. The other thing, speaking of online resources for people, you launched The Power of Civics. This is a new platform.
Yes,
I live on the air. I showed people how easy it was because I signed up on the air and I went through it and I played the first video for everybody on the air as well.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Thank you.
To me, it was very easy. And I think, you know, especially when we talk about, voter turnout. And people not even understanding the weight of some of these elections, Board of Education, Planning and Zoning, mm-hmm. Board of Aldermen, City Council, Town Clerk, the list goes on and on. I think this is just one way that we can better educate not just the adult population, but I had my 7-year-old sit there and get excited about local elections because we focus so much on find your political party, whereas my bigger thing is let's focus on what are the roles in local government, and get people more informed before they go to the polls. I love this platform.
100%. People keep asking me, like, did you come up with this year because of, like, the vibe and the divisiveness? I'm like, no. In 2023, when we would go around and talk to people, I give a, like, little civics quiz everywhere I go. And one of the things I said the most was, name two positions on your ballot this year. And I've done it this year as well. People don't know. Like, I would say one in 25 people can name two positions on the ballot in a local election year. And as we know, these are the things that impact us every day. Schools, property taxes, noise, zoning,
law enforcement,
like literally everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we started putting it together then, but it was like a PDF on our website and no one was excited about reading this PDF. So we made it into an online fun learning management tool. We've recruited interns, volunteers, college students, registrars, town clerks to serve as the actors. It's a lot of fun.
It's really, I think also I love the video element of it, and it made me think, I really wish, and I don't know if maybe the legislature will think about this, but I remember going to high school and I did youth in government. Mm-hmm. And that's where I started to learn about more of what local government looks like. Well, and I felt more prepared when I was of age to start voting at 18 and being able to vote, even though I was in Vermont, absentee for the offices in Fairfield at the time. And to me, unless I was in youth in government, I would not know what any of this stuff is. I feel like we are getting more on board with financial literacy. I feel like we should get some kind of government literacy before people are able to vote.
Our civic literacy is
low. Civic literacy, sure.
You know, every survey done, there was one done in 24. It's like 70% of America's population can't answer basic questions like the three branches of government.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I do civic quizzes for every audience. It doesn't matter the age, small town, large city, race, even people who are very involved and volunteer in like campaigns and stuff. They don't know this stuff either. We really have to close this literacy gap. The legislature, they do have a civic education, civic engagement, and media literacy task force that started meeting for the first time earlier this year. And they're trying to pass a civic seal program in Connecticut and some other things.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
I'm going to track that. I think that these are really great skills that we could be putting in the schools before they graduate. And again, have these, to me, this really great opportunity to have a voice in their local government. And instead of just following the D's and the R's or whatever their parents tell them to do, really educating themselves.
It's much more than politics.
I agree.
Like, it really is about government because politics is the means by which someone gets elected. But government is what happens the other 364 days of the year. And I try to separate the two. Civics is not politics. It's actually, I think of it as a mental health issue as well. If you feel like you have no agency in your community or your state, like, you start to feel bad. But we have so many opportunities to intersect with government, but most of us don't do it.
Mm, but you have an opportunity, and it is right now to vote in these local elections. Again, we've got 3 more days of early voting and then the general election on Tuesday. For any more information, remember myvote.ct.gov, which we will put those resources on our website, voiceofct.com. Secretary of the State Stephanie Thomas, always a pleasure to have you in studio. Thank you so much.
Thank you.